Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Good value, big upside.
DA, first of all, let me just say, you're my absolute favorite show. I listen to them all, but you're the absolute best, my friend.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
CBS Sports Network. Tiger shoots to tie the record for 82 PGA Tour wins at Jack's Tournament, the Memorial. Presented by Nationwide this weekend on CBS. Now our toll-free line is 855-212-4227. Brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Go to geico.com. In 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Our next guest anchors our CBS Sports Radio show in our old time slot, 6 until 10 Eastern Time, 3 until 7 Pacific. You also see him on CBS Sports HQ. He's all over the upcoming NBA Finals. Game 1 is tomorrow night. Our friend Bill Ryder. Bill, good morning.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me on, man.
My pleasure, buddy. I have to ask you something, though, because we got into a big debate with Jared Greenberg, NBA TV, on the show late last week, and I used a clip from your show when you had him on last week. I was listening to when you had him on, and you asked him about Steph Curry and his success, and Jared kind of went on to say, well, I'm just so happy that Steph Curry is finally getting the attention he deserves, that people are finally noticing how great he is. And I said, you know, Bill should have stopped you right there in your tracks and told you that you are just a shameless warrior sycophant. I mean, wasn't that ridiculous? Shouldn't you have stopped them and said, what are you talking about, Jared? As though the Warriors are this little engine that don't get enough respect?
I want to stop you and have that conversation with you, but it's your show. So I'll offer this up. In NBA circles that Jared moves in, NBA reporters, NBA writers, NBA voters, I think Steph Curry is grossly underappreciated. I'm 100% with Jared.
He was a two-time NBA MVP. Those are voters.
This is a what-have-you-done-for-me-lately business. I'm with you, man. Steph's amazing. We should celebrate him. We should talk about him. But so many guys in the business, and frankly, fans, I can only speak to the folks who call into my show, are resolutely and fairly committed to this, I think, false narrative that Kevin Durant has shown that he is the better player than Steph, and Steph was just part of a nice little team that only won one and wouldn't have won more without KD. I'm with Jared. I think Steph, it's all relative, right? No one's doubting that Steph has had his shine. I think Steph Curry is a top 15 player in the history of the game, and we certainly don't talk about him that way. I think he is arguably, and I would argue this, better than Kawhi Leonard, better than Kevin Durant. That is scoffed at by the casual fan. And I think by that standard, I think he's grossly underappreciated.
But wait a second. I mean, you're talking about media that don't give him enough respect. He was voted an MVP twice, and he's a three-time first-team All-NBA team guy, which is also a vote. So how can you say the media doesn't give him respect?
Well, the narrative changes. I mean, Carmelo Anthony was considered a top player. Now he's an absolute joke. This isn't 2015 and 16. It's 2018, and I don't remember the last time Steph Curry appeared in the top three or five in an MVP ballot. He should.
He was
hasn't.
He was first team this year, though.
Yeah, he's real good. He's just not as good, or he's better, I should say, than the people who have given. Let me ask you this, DA.
Yeah.
Where would you rank Steph Curry in the NBA right now? He is the what best player on earth?
Top four. I don't know if I would say better than LeBron, Kyrie, or Durant. I would probably have
Kyrie.
Him at number four.
Oh, see, you're dude.
I'm sorry. Kawhi.
Okay, that one.
Sorry.
So I think that's the argument. I think there's four guys in the game, with all respect to Giannis. But most people, and this has sort of changed, right? The last 2 weeks, this revisionistic history, people seeing what Curry could be like, oh, I was always on the Curry bandwagon. It's just not true. I cannot tell you how many guys I've had on the show who cover the NBA for a living before this postseason when I bring up this notion that Steph is the second-best player in the game and certainly a top-four player who laugh on the air and argue that the game has passed him by just in terms of where he ranks. He's great. He's a first-teamer, but he's not Giannis. He's not Kyrie. He's not I'm with Jared on this, and this isn't true today because people are fickle. But 3 weeks ago, absolutely, 5 weeks ago, Steph Curry did not get the respect that he deserves. No one is saying about LeBron James, even with all the sort of garbage this year, yeah, he's a top 10 player, but he's not, you know, a top 3 player anymore. I think Steph has deserved the same exact accolades, and I don't think he's gotten them.
Bill Ryder joins us here on the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio. Do you think the fact that Kevin Durant is making the trip to Toronto suggests that the Warriors are a little worried about losing games one or two?
Yeah, it's really interesting. It's a great question. I think it's one of a couple things. He may be closer than we think he is, though I utterly doubt he's going to play in the first two games. I also know, and I certainly think, and I know Kevin Durant's a very sensitive guy when it comes to the way people perceive him. And we've seen the ridicule Kyrie Irving got last year in the Eastern Conference Finals when he missed, what, Game 7, I think, of that series for some eye appointment. And I sort of buy the notion that KD, if he's well enough to travel, wants to be with his guys and support his guys and be around those guys, even if he's probably leaving. So it's probably a mixture of things, but I think you're right. I mean, if he's close enough that he shouldn't play in Game 2, but maybe he can, if they lose Game 1, maybe there's an outside chance they see if Durant's able to go a little early, and maybe there's a little concern, and there probably should be, because Kawhi is such a stopper. You have a Kevin Durant on the floor, at a minimum, it takes Kawhi away from trying to slow down the rest of the guys.
So we're all hoping that it's a competitive series, although I feel very burned because I thought that maybe the Blazers series was going to be at least competitive, and it obviously was not. Is it fool's gold to think that because the Raptors have home court advantage, start out the first two, and the Warriors are at least for now without Kevin Durant, that this can be a competitive series?
I don't think it's fool's gold. I really want it to be true. You know, we have to do these predictions on the radio and for me over at the website, and I hate doing them. But I went Warriors in five because if I have to err on the side of like which version of the NBA Finals I think will play out, I think it's going to be Warriors winning fairly easily. I mean, this Warriors team is not a team that's going to take their foot off the throat of their opponent the way Milwaukee did in that Game 3 overtime, double overtime. Giannis doesn't score and either fouls out early in that second overtime. So I think the Warriors are going to get it done with or without Durant, but the last time we saw Kawhi Leonard healthy as a Spur, he helped put his team up, 20-some points against the Warriors, got hurt, Warriors came back, won that game, obviously went on to win that series in the championship. So, I mean, if anybody can make a run at confounding the Warriors and upending the narrative, it's probably a Kawhi Leonard-led team.
Is there a scenario you can envision where Kevin Durant stays this offseason?
I mean, he's such a complicated guy, and I won't pretend to be connected with his circle because I'm not, and I'm pretty critical of the guy, and he reads and listens to everything. He's feeling all the feels. So I don't know what he's thinking. I know this: people in Golden State, people around the NBA, don't think he's staying. They're fairly confident he's leaving, but they always hedge with Kevin's a complicated guy, and maybe he'll decide to stick around. I think really, DA, it depends on what plays out in the finals, just like it did a few years ago when it really mattered that Oklahoma City collapsed 3-1 and then the Warriors collapsed 3-1 against Cleveland. I think that combination is why he could go to Golden State. It just depends how Kevin Durant feels about himself and Draymond Green and his reputation. So yeah, I think he can stay, but all things being equal, Warriors win this thing in five, KD doesn't come back, Steph gets all the love in the NBA Finals, it's Steph's team again. I think it's very likely he's a Clipper or New York Knick next year.
Bill Ryder joins us this morning on the show before game one of tomorrow night's NBA Finals. You're closely connected with the Lakers. You're in L.A. once again. The story that popped yesterday, what was the most alarming part of the dysfunction that ESPN.com unfolded there?
Yeah, for me, the most alarming part was calling some people in the Lakers to see, because you know how this goes. Sometimes people write anonymously sourced stories. You call the people who work in that organization, and they tell you it's garbage, right? And you kind of believe it. For me, the alarming thing was making those calls and people just sheepishly saying, yeah, it's not great. it's true. I think the report's true. I also, and there's a lot to point to, but Rob Pelinka, and I'm not saying Rob Pelinka's a pathological liar because I don't know Rob Pelinka that well. I've just worked with pathological liars, so I've been through that. Rob Pelinka, if the allegation and the anecdote is true and it's reported, bragging about setting up with Kobe Bryant a lunch with a dead Heath Ledger. I mean, the incompetence and the lying and just the weirdness of that. If that allegation is true, if you work in an organization where the person in charge is a pathological liar and is so into his ego, it obscures his ability to lie effectively, you're probably not going to have a lot of success.
Is Jeannie Buss in over her head as owner?
Yeah, and I know Jeannie, and I like, this is like the big caveat, because I know her, and I like her, and she is a great human being, which is not, as you know, D.A., always true with these people who own these teams or are the faces of these franchises. But I mean, she is. Owners have the benefit of getting a long-term, run to sort of figure it out. They're not players. Age doesn't affect their ability to do the job, and so they get a longer learning curve. But she is so over her head. She is so in thrall of trying to run the Lakers organization, theoretically, like her dad did as a family, which you can't do in 2019. Yes, she's over her head, and she is slowly turning this organization to the Browns of the NBA, which is really unfortunate, not just for Lakers fans, but for Jeannie Buss, because I've talked to her about it. Her life's mission, she didn't have kids, she didn't have a family, she wanted the Lakers to be her family, and she is turning that family into a dysfunctional mess because of her decision-making.
And I heard you talking about how, even behind the scenes, everybody has such good things to say about Jeannie Buss. Everybody that you've ever spoken to has good things to say about her. And you were kind of alluding to the idea that maybe she's too nice. Is it one of these things where, because she's pleasant and believes the best in people, she surrounds herself with people that she thinks she can trust, but ultimately she surrounded herself with too many people that she can't trust?
Yeah, I think when you're an average person and you're super kind and you're a little naive, that's sweet. I think when you're in a high-powered position like owning the Lakers and you have that personality and you entrust people who pretend to be your friends, Magic Johnson, Rob Pelinka, Kobe Bryant, I mean, the list goes on and on. People around her that are sycophantic, whose goal is really to be at the trough and to take in the glory of the purple and gold. It makes you weak, and it makes you short-sighted, and it makes you bad at your job. Her, and it's not just kindness, right? Because she's kind, but she also believes completely that this organization is a family, and that that's what makes it special, and that everyone that she's ever known as a Laker loved her because she was a part of the Lakers organization, and they were too, not realizing that most of these people, Kobe Bryant, Magic Johnson, Rob Pelinka, all these folks, they weren't born as daddy's little boy or little girl into a whole bunch of money and the princess, in this case, of the future kingdom that is the Lakers. They had to fight and grind and have talent to get there, and they see the world in much more cutthroat terms than she does.
Bill Ryder, you should listen to him every single night, 6 until 10 p.m. Eastern time, right here on CBS Sports Radio, 3 until 7 Pacific time. He's all over the NBA Finals every single night. CBS Sports HQ as well. He's done a wonderful job taking over for our old time slot. And the one thing I will say is I can't believe Stu is sending you such creepy text messages in the middle of the night.
It's gotten out of control, DA. I was going to ask you about it off air. Just how do you manage a producer when it's not just an ego that's out of control, but it starts to be really creepy and weird. And once he took up the motorcycles and the leather and the spikes and the bikes, it's, I got to be honest, man, it's been downhill.
He's just a harsh personality to be around. You know,
always like,
flaming
like,
takes.
Dude, just take a breath. Mix in some happiness. Mix in some joy. Be chill.
Bill Ryder, follow him on Twitter at SportsRyder. Good stuff, Bill. We'll be listening, buddy.
Thanks, brother.
Okay, Bill Ryder joining us this morning on the show.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.